Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It is our membership drive. We are not interrupting programming to tell you more about that, but we can interrupt for a minute to say thank you. So thank you very much to Alex from Rapid City, to Catherine from Rapid City, and to Lynn from Pukwana. You can join them by going online, sdpb.org/donate. Thank you so much for supporting what we're doing here on In the Moment and SDPB Radio. And now from precision ag to autonomous cars, the impact of fifth-generation mobile broadband technology is virtually unlimited. South Dakota is positioning itself to lead the way to the future. FCC Chairman Brendan Carr recently visited the state. SDPB's Jacqueline Severin joins us now inside the Kirby Family Studio for a recap. Hey, Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. All right. So Senator Thune is here, FCC chairman is here. Give us an idea of what this whole event was. This is sort of a field committee hearing?
How yes, did it work? Yeah. So Senator Thune, who is the chairman of the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation, had a commerce field hearing here. And, the Federal Communications Commissioner, Brendan Carr, came as well. And there was a mayor... the mayor of Sioux Falls, Paulton Hankin, was there. He gave some testimony. Dakota State University president was there. Representatives from Verizon, Midcontinent Communications, SDN Communications were all there giving testimony on 5G and bringing it not only to South Dakota, but really how do we get it deployed across the U.S. quickly as well.
All right, so 5G, we were just talking about this morning because everybody's like, what exactly is it? Because we have this in our houses, it feels like, because it says 5G on your modem or whatever.
Right.
But this is different. This is
so, yeah, that's a little, maybe a miss. Well, it's probably a marketing strategy,
sure.
Really. We don't really have what this 5G is yet. It's really just 4G. You've heard of 4G probably, right?
Sure.
There was 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G.
G is just generation.
And G is just generation, and 5G is just the next generation in cellular wireless technology. And those who talked at the committee hearing were really just talking about why it's needed. It's supposed to be faster, more responsive. Some people said 20 times faster. There were reports that it's going to be 1,000 times faster. Who knows how fast it's really going to be, but it is going to be faster. And it's going to give us the ability to connect more things to the internet at once. And so Senator Thune and Commissioner Carr really said it's needed if we're going to have driverless cars, if we're going to have smart homes, smart cities, if we're going to make advancements in robotics. That's what the next step is to get kind of that, you know, sci-fi future that we all see in the movies, right?
It's not just about walking around with your phone and having faster download time. It is so much more than that because the advances in telehealth and precision agriculture. And I mean, it's really unlimited what can happen.
Exactly.
Once this comes to town.
Right. Exactly. And so... we're kind of in, Commissioner Carr said, we're kind of in a race to get 5G because obviously there's an economic advantage to it, right? And other countries are trying to be the first to get 5G. And so here's kind of Commissioner, his testimony on why it's important for the U.S. to really deploy 5G quickly.
As Deloitte put it, first adopter countries could sustain more than a decade of competitive advantage. After all, we're not the only country that wants to be first to 5G. One of our biggest competitors is China. They view 5G as a chance to flip the script. They want to lead the tech sector for the next decade, and they're moving aggressively to deploy the infrastructure needed for 5G. Since 2015, China has deployed 350,000 cell sites. We've built fewer than 30,000. China is deploying 460 cell sites a day. That's 12 times our pace. So we have to be honest about this infrastructure challenge, and from Congress to the White House to the FCC to state and local leaders, we have a plan, and we're executing on it. For our part, the FCC is working to get the government out of the way so the private sector can construct the hundreds of thousands of new small cells needed for 5G. In March, we excluded small cells from the costly review procedures designed for 100-foot towers. That decision cut $1.5 billion in red tape, and one provider is now clearing small cells for construction at six times the pace as before. So we're making progress, but when I think about success, When I think about winning the race to 5G, the finish line isn't the moment we see next-gen deployments in New York or San Francisco. Success can only be measured when all Americans have a fair shot at next-gen connectivity.
All right, so let's go back a little bit, because I want to talk about the benefits and sort of bounce off of what he said. But first, you know, what exactly does this look like? It's not the cell towers that we already have.
Yes, exactly. It's a, that's a great point, because, you know, these cell towers are 1,000-foot, 2,000-foot cell towers, and they're really transmitting frequencies that are kind of mid-spectrum or low-spectrum, and 5G is high-spectrum frequencies, so they're faster, but they don't travel as long of distances. So you have to be, the user has to be closer to whatever's transmitting the 5G frequencies in order for it to use it. And, you know, that means you don't need the huge cell towers. You just need a small little, they showed one. It's about the size of a pizza box. It's, and they call that the small cell technology. And the idea is that you need, so you're going to need more of them, but they're not going to have as big of a footprint or presence as that high cell tower. So you can put it on existing infrastructure like light poles, or just have a smaller tower around the cities. And, you know, Commissioner Carr said you're really going to, we're going to need like thousands of these for 5G technology to go forward.
All right. And that's where we get to, you know, the regulation and sort of opening of the door for that. But let's talk a little bit about what he was saying about the benefits to being first in America and really to being first in South Dakota. What are some of the benefits that we stand to gain if we're the ones on the front side of this technology?
Exactly. The economic benefits, they say, are huge because, you know, attracting tech companies, that's probably, you know, that's the wave of the future for our economy is going to be tech companies. So it's really needed for that. Dakota State University, I talked a little bit with their president, Dr. Jose Marie Griffiths, and she said they're already playing with this technology in their classrooms. And she said Dakota State University and the city of Madison, they really want to be first in this, because you said, you know, the first country obviously has the economic advantage. The first city is going to have the economic advantage because they're thinking it's going to attract, first of all, students, both online and, you know, at Dakota State University's campus. It's going to attract businesses to Madison, which means more jobs, and also attracting, they want to attract not only just any business, but technology businesses. And she talks a little bit about that here.
So small cities, small municipalities are looking at this. We're ahead. Madison is very conducive to technology-related projects. You know, we like to see ourselves a small community. We are, we're representative of those 85% of municipalities. And so the idea of being first ties in with our economic development activities in Lake County. And we want to be able to use, one of the first, if not the first, to be completely covered with 5G capability, and then start marketing that to bring in tech companies, to bring in cybersecurity companies who need to work in a secure environment so that they can do their work safely.
All right, so Mayor Paul Ten Hinken was there, and Sioux Falls and Madison are friendly with each other, but they both also probably want to be first out of the gate. So what's Mayor Ten Hinken have to say?
Yes, and again, the same things as Madison, attracting people here, attracting businesses here. You know, there's the workforce shortage that we all know about and talk about, and Mayor Ten Hinken says, you know, he wants to attract employees here, and hopefully that, you know, makes them, you know, it's such a cool city. We have all the greatest technology, makes them want to put down roots here. And so he in his testimony talked a little bit about this. In the first part of his testimony, he's going to talk about that. And then he talks a little bit about what cities needs and the concerns they have about getting compensated for. They're the ones that are going to be regulating this and going through the regulations and permitting. And so he talks a little bit about that at the end of his testimony about getting compensated for that and making sure cities are, what he says, made whole.
Today, nearly every sector of Sioux Falls' economy counts on a fast and reliable internet connection. Organizations like Avera Health are operating one of the most robust e-care backends in the country right here in Sioux Falls. CarsForSale.com is a .com success story that has created hundreds of jobs here in Sioux Falls. DocuTap, just up the street, provides hundreds of tech careers, delivering EMR software to urgent care clinics all over the world. The common thread of success amongst all these companies: fast, reliable connectivity. As the United States strives to be one of the first nations with a fully functional 5G network, the city of Sioux Falls strives to be the first mid-market city with a 5G infrastructure. Right now, wireless carriers are negotiating small cell tower location review fees and easement fees with local governments to install 5G infrastructure, and that's happening right here in Sioux Falls. As mayor, it's not my intent to profit off carriers to deploy 5G infrastructure. We seek fair and reasonable compensation for city staff time to review applications from carriers, and in turn, we offer a reasonable time frame to approve or deny these applications or work with the carrier on an alternative site. Lastly, we want easement fees that cover the inflationary costs we incur with carriers locating their technology on our city assets. It's a very basic ask. Make the city whole on our costs to review and house the infrastructure that carriers need to deliver this connectivity.
All right, so what needs to be done?
Well, I talked with Senator John Thune, and it's really just all about lessening regulations so it, you know, keeps up with the technology. We don't need those regulations for those tall cell towers anymore.
This stuff is happening, and the investment is being made. The question is, where is it going to be made? And I think that, you know, what we're trying to encourage is that when an application is made to build some of the, you know, to basically deploy the cells, and they're going to be, as you saw, smaller, denser than some of the existing technologies today, but make it easier and faster to get those things sited and permitted. So our legislation, for example, provides a 60 to 90 day window. If an application is made, a city would have 60 to 90 days to consider it and then make a decision. And we're not suggesting at all that cities not have the authority to regulate these things, but simply that there ought to be some time certain that would allow for, if the investment's going to be made, to allow it to go forward.
All right, so what about the rural South Dakotans who are listening? It's all well and good for Sioux Falls, but what's for in it for us?
And that's a great question, because really this is going to be more of a benefit to cities and, you know, denser populations. And so Senior Director of Government Relations at Mid-Continent Communications, Justin Forty, was there, and he kind of addresses the digital divide and the need to focus still on what we're going to do for rural communities.
The discussion about emerging small cell technology for urban areas is continuing to gain momentum, and Midco is here to support mobile carriers by providing that connectivity. Small cell will create deeper fiber penetration in our communities, and we are excited for that possibility. Small cell technology, however, is not the likely solution to close the digital divide due to the density of towers needed. For example, we estimate that 350 small cell towers would be needed to provide 5G service to Sioux Falls with an area of only 74 square miles. While technology that requires end users to be in such close proximity to a tower is a possibility in our more urban areas, it is not realistic in some of our more rural areas. But fixed wireless has been and will continue to be a solution. Instead of hundreds of feet between a tower and a consumer, our fixed wireless network can beam speeds, high-speed broadband, 5 to 28 miles between a tower and consumer. Midco currently provides fixed wireless broadband to large portions of the Red River Valley, with approximately 14,000 square miles using 140 cell towers, water towers, and grain elevators. Fixed wireless is closing the digital divide today.